Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 1 today. John chapter 1 is where I'm going to be speaking from, verses 40 to 42. The title of the message is The Bringer. Now, I don't know if the bringer is actually a word that I can actually use, if it actually is phonetically correct or not, but that's the title of the message, The Bringer. And I want to ask you, are you individuals that bring other people to Jesus? A couple of weeks ago, I had our staff do a spiritual gifts inventory. I don't know if you've ever filled out a spiritual gifts inventory or not, but there are spiritual gifts that we're given. And so from that, we kind of have to identify what is our spiritual gifts. And so in this spiritual gifts inventory, there was a number of gifts. One of those was evangelism, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, pastoring, shepherding, showing mercy, serving, giving, and administration. And it was kind of an interesting little deal for us to do as a staff to say, what is our spiritual gifts and where has God enabled us? One of the spiritual gifts is evangelism. Now, what is evangelism? Evangelism is when we go out and we share about Jesus and we say, do you know the Lord? And I want you to know Jesus. Now, many of us, I believe, don't have the gift of evangelism, or at least we don't take advantage of this. Some of us want to just kind of silently live our lives and just, well, hopefully they'll ask me something about the Lord, or we don't want to say a whole lot. But there are some of us that are evangelists in this room. And if you're an evangelist or you know an evangelist, I mean, you can't go anywhere with an evangelist without them asking somebody, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? Now, many of us in the church at times are like, can you ask that here? I mean, we're kind of like in a bar. I mean, we shouldn't ask that question here. Or we're at Mount Rushmore. There's a lot of people here. And why are you asking this at Mount Rushmore? Or we're at the mall. Why are we asking this at the mall? Or Cabela's or wherever, Safeway. But that's an evangelist. I mean, they're just going to go around and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And they just ask that question. We see in the story from the Bible today, we see one who continually brought people to Jesus. That's how we see this man by the name of Andrew. Andrew was one who brought people to Jesus. And you may say, well, I'm not an evangelist per se. You don't have to be an evangelist. But I think, and I want to encourage us, I want to challenge us to think, who can we bring to Jesus? Because sometimes we don't think that, and I'm preaching to myself as well, because sometimes let's go about our life. We have to get our car fixed. We're not necessarily worried about leading the mechanic to the Lord. Now, I have a mechanic that knows Jesus, so I don't have to lead my mechanic to the Lord. But you might have a mechanic that doesn't know the Lord. And so this is a tool that we can use, but sometimes we miss that. Andrew brought people to Jesus. One of those is what we're going to look at today. Another one that you can look a little later on here in the Gospel of John is in John chapter 6. And that's where Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And Andrew was the one who brought the young man who with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 12. Andrew is the one who brings the Greeks to Jesus. And he says, here, come to Jesus. And so my question is, who are you bringing to Jesus? Would you join me in God's word today as I read in John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 40 to 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The first thing I want you to catch is this, and where I'll spend a lot of the message. Andrew brought others to Jesus. 3 weeks ago, earlier in the verses here, we saw that two left from John's side to follow Jesus. Now we see one of those two named, and that one person who's named is Andrew. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. And I began to wonder, why did he do this? There are at least two reasons I thought of. And first, Simon was his brother. Second, Andrew was convinced of something. I want to go with this one first. Andrew brought his brother Simon. I don't know where each of you are going for the 4th of July. I will not be outside of my immediate family on the 4th of July, but I will tell you that in recent days, I've been with extended family. As I mentioned, we were down in Lincoln. Sometimes, some of the hardest people to bring to Jesus is our family. We each have some interesting family members, don't we? As I've mentioned before, if you don't think so, then look in the mirror. No, there's nobody interesting in my family. We're all pretty normal. Well, maybe, but we all have this. And sometimes, and maybe even God's bringing somebody to your mind right now, where you have really struggled to bring them to Jesus because, man, there's just some frustrating parts there and pieces. We need to even bring our brothers and our sisters to Jesus, and we need to present to them Jesus. Now, when bringing someone to Jesus, I want you to understand this. This doesn't just mean that we bring a friend to church. I think it's a great thing to bring a friend to church, but it's more than bringing someone to church. We bring others to Jesus. Who did you bring to Jesus this last week? And if Christ is living within you, you actually brought Jesus to somebody and you probably didn't even know it. Or maybe you're aware of it. But I want us to open our eyes this week. I want you to open your eyes and maybe even write down this prayer. Maybe even say this: God, let me bring someone to Jesus this week. God, let me bring someone to Jesus this week. And you look for those opportunities. The other reason, though, I think, that led Andrew to actually talk to his brother was this. Here's what it says in verse 41. When he first found his own brother and said to him this, "We have found the Messiah." Hear me in this. When you find the Messiah, there's something different that happens in your life. And let me just say this. Sometimes when, as we grow along in our walk with the Lord, we forget what the Messiah means. And when the Messiah has come into our hearts and our lives, it makes a difference. And I think that's what Andrew is saying. We have found the Messiah. We have found the one who was the Christ. We have found the one who was the expected Savior and the Redeemer. And I begin to, as I looked at the passage, I was like, well, who told him this? Did John the Baptist, as you look earlier, did John the Baptist say, this is the Messiah? No, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He didn't say anything about being the Messiah. Jesus didn't come saying, I am the Messiah, everybody come unto me. He didn't do that. Who revealed to Andrew that this was the Messiah? God himself. When we find out for ourselves who the Messiah truly is, it changes us. And then we want to bring others to Jesus. Do you know the Messiah? Have you found the Messiah? There was a phrase that many of you have heard, and here's the phrase. There's gold in them hills. In the late 1800s, the Black Hills Gold Rush took place. Prospectors found gold in 1874 near present-day Custer, South Dakota. The deposit was small, but the larger gold deposits were found in Deadwood. And in Deadwood Gulch actually, there was those larger deposits, and they were found in 1875 and 1876. The peak of the gold rush was 1876 and 1877. Actually, in the 1960s, Father DeSmet saw some Sioux Native Americans carrying gold, which they said they had brought from the hills. The first arrivals to the gold rush was 1,000 men led by George Armstrong Custer. What brought the people to the hills for the gold rush? Well, a hope for money. Somebody asked, what are we digging for out here? I think we found gold out here. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that mean we're digging along and find oil? Then what? We might have to find a new place to worship, I guess, because might need to put some wood in that. No, just water. We're fixing a pipe. Why did people come to the hills? For money. Why do we want to bring people to Jesus? Is it for money? No. It's for peace. It's for eternal life. Because of the life-changing hope and what God can provide. Here's my belief. People are searching all around you. Some of them know it. Some of them don't have a clue. But when they're searching for meaning and purpose, the only purpose that comes for our life is through Jesus Christ. Be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. Who around you in your office, in your family, in your neighborhood needs Jesus? Bring them to Jesus. Well, I'm just not an outspoken guy, Pastor Steve. Doesn't God ask us to do this? Here's what a commentator said. It was Andrew's great joy to bring others to Jesus. He had a missionary heart. Is there something that just overwhelms you and you just get excited about and you're like, man, after I leave Sunday service, I have an awesome opportunity to bring somebody to Jesus. I wonder who it's going to be. Or do you not even think that way and you think, I'm not even going to think about that. There's a story by a guy by the name of Leighton Ford. And Leighton Ford was speaking at a crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And as he was speaking, Billy Graham, who you would know that name, was to speak the next night. And Billy Graham wasn't on the platform. He was actually in the audience that night. He sat to the rear, and he wore a hat, and he wore dark glasses, and so no one could recognize him at all. Mr. Leighton Ford gave an invitation at the end of his message if anybody wanted to receive the Lord. And there was a man that was sitting right in front of Billy Graham. And when the invitation was given, Mr. Graham, who was an evangelist, decided to help the man out, and he asked him this question. Would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to. And the man in front of Billy Graham said this, nah, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night. Who knows what that man possibly did? But sometimes we think, well, we got to wait until we bring somebody to church, and then Pastor Steve is going to do a wonderful job, and the person's going to accept Christ and come down the aisle, and that may never happen. And you have an awesome opportunity to bring others to Jesus each and every day, and so do I. You may not be a well-known evangelist, and you may be thinking, boy, if I could just get Pastor Steve to come talk to my friend. You talk to them. Andrew brought people to Jesus. So the question I have today, before I move on to the next point, is this. Who have I brought to Jesus? Who have you brought to Jesus in recent days? Have you sat down with anybody in recent days and said, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you where I was. Let me tell you where Jesus is for me. Maybe it's with a husband. Maybe it's with a wife. Maybe it's with the grandchild. Those of you who are in this room that are grandparents, you have an awesome opportunity to share with your grandkids. You may think that they may not be listening to you because they're involved in their gadgets some which way, and a lot of kids have little gadgets and screens. If you can get them for a moment, talk to them about Jesus. Write them a note. Even if you're not a grandparent, if you're a young person in the room, who have you led to Jesus? Who have you brought to Jesus in recent days? Could we name somebody? Think of what would happen in our church if we were willing to bring others to Jesus and they came here and fellowshipped and worshiped. Andrew, number two, was willing to let others lead. Can you and I do that? I've talked about this a little bit with John the Baptist. This is just an interesting thing here. Andrew was the connector to probably, arguably, the closest person to Jesus, and that being Peter. And we never see Andrew saying, "Peter, if it wouldn't have been for me, you would have never found the Messiah. I mean, I was the one that brought you to Jesus. I was the one that did this. Don't you think you owe me a little bit here? I mean, come on, brother. Help me out here." But it wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. Actually, Andrew, even though he was one of the 12, he wasn't even one of the inner three. He wasn't with Peter, James, and John. He was Andrew. But he still brought people to Jesus. In a society that jockeys for position and prominence, we should be encouraged by what Andrew showed us. Andrew was one of the first to follow Jesus, and he could have been upset. But he said, "No, I'm willing to let others lead." Another question I have for you today is, do I allow others to lead? But then I want you to see point number three. And in verse 42, it talks about Peter. He, being Andrew, brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Jesus looked deeper into what Simon could become. Jesus looked deeper into what Simon could become. Names. Names are important. Names were important in this culture. They meant something. As you read through the New Old Testament, you see some names and see some names that were given. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Eli died, and soon after his daughter-in-law gives birth, and she names her son Ichabod. And Ichabod means the glory has departed from Israel. In Genesis chapter 25, we see Esau. He was born and he came out red. He was later named Edom, which means red. Esau also means hairy, and Esau was very hairy. And then Jacob, his twin, came out grasping his heel. So he was named Jacob, which means take by the heel. Or 1 Samuel tells us of the birth of Samuel. And Samuel was prayed for by his mother, Hannah. He came, and his name sounds like the Hebrew for heard of God. My name is important. Your name is important. If I'm to say Fred, nobody really hears that except for Fred. If I am to call one of my children's names, they know that name. If I say Craig, or I say Dan, or I say Brigetta, or I say Doris, those people that I just said their names, their ears perk up a little more because our names are important. My name means crowned one. That's kind of interesting. I don't know if you know what your name means. I don't know if you know how you got your name. We were a little more specific with names in our family, and there's probably some reason. If you don't know what your name means at this point in time, or there's a definition for that, or how you got your name, you should ask that over dinner today. How did I get my name? I think of the Kozer family. Evan was going to be an E name, I think, because there was already two E names, and so we're going to give another E name. Maybe it was after an actor, actress at the time. Maybe your name is from a book. Maybe it's from a friend who had a certain name. Maybe we don't name our child because we knew of somebody by that name. Nope, not going with Steve. I knew a Steve. We're not naming our kid Steve ever. Oh, man, was he? No, we're not doing that. When Andrew brought his brother, his name was Simon, but changed his name to Cephas, or Peter as we know him. Sometimes he's referred to as Simon Peter. Here's what I want you to catch. Jesus sees not only the actualities in a man, but also sees the possibilities. See, Jesus saw something greater in Simon Peter than he even knew about. Jesus saw something deeper in Peter. And hear me in this, if you're within the sound of my voice, I know maybe somebody will be listening online too, know that Jesus sees something deeper in each of us. I hope you hear that. Now, I'm not gonna call each of you out and say, I wanna, Glenn, give you a new name. No, I'm not gonna give Glenn a new name. But there's something about when Jesus comes and he sees something. And if I just may say, he saw something in you, Glenn. I don't know if you know the Wessel family, but there were a lot of kids in the Wessel family. Some of you grew up in large families. And many years ago, he saw something in you, Glenn Wessel. And where he's taking you is incredible. And it's not just Glenn, it's all of us. He sees something great in each of us. And he saw it in Simon Peter. During a confirmation in the Catholic Church, there is a saint's name given to each confirmed individual. I don't think it's a bad thing, but you don't have to have a saint's name in order for you to be something different. Please know that God sees beyond your skin. He sees deep into your soul. He sees deep into your mind. He sees great possibility. And you may say, but I'm older. I can't do that. I'm younger. I'm middle-aged. I can't. And in this, from this word, hear this. He brought Andrew, Simon to Jesus. And catch this. I believe that Jesus knew what was going to happen with Simon Peter 3 years down the road. And you know what he said? He said, you know, others see you as Simon, but you're going to be Peter. You're going to be the rock. What God can do in our lives. In recent days, I've seen a number of articles, and I've also experienced it personally. And the number of articles has talked about suicide and how it has just risen. Suicide is a very difficult thing, And as I mentioned in recent days, I've had a friend who is who's taken their own life. I don't understand that. I was greatly saddened by that. I still am saddened by that. And as I contemplate that and I wonder about suicide or other things, I think, what is the reason? What is the reason? And there's many questions of why, and this is the best thing that I can come up with. The best thing is I don't think people understand how God sees them, how precious they are. And if you're that person this morning, not necessarily suicidal by any means, but you don't see how God sees you, let me just give you another glimpse. God sees you as an individual who is saved by His grace and is wonderfully made. And you can do mighty and powerful things and rest knowing that God loves you ever so much. I know this. There are some of you in this room that there's something that happened 22 years ago that still defines your life today. Don't let that negative define your life. Look at it through God's eyes. When He said to Simon, "You are son of John, you will be called Cephas." Know that Christ says you can be much more. Once someone came on Michelangelo chipping away with his chisel at a huge, shapeless piece of rock. He asked the sculptor what he was doing. And here's what Michelangelo said. "I am releasing the angel imprisoned in this marble." God is releasing you. Receive Him and know Him. And when you come to Jesus, He turns things around. And that's what I want to encourage you this week. Who you bring into Jesus. This week, there's somebody that might be just encased in some marble, and you can see something greater, but they can't. Allow them to see Jesus, and He will change them. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. Gracious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You that someone was willing to bring us to You. Maybe it was even the reason why we're here today is somebody invited us to come to church and to come and meet You. I pray for somebody here this morning who has never entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've heard this message and they've thought, "I'm not worthy," but yet they can be worthy in Your sight. So I pray that that person would walk out with a new name, and that new name being Christian. that new name being a Christ follower, that new name being a believer today, and they would walk out knowing that they have peace within their heart because you have come into their life. I pray also that you would be with each one of us in this room, myself included, that you would help us this week to bring somebody to you. Give us opportunities, help us to be bold, and God, may others come to know you as Savior and Lord because of working through us. God, I pray for each person as we go from this place on this day. Would you help us to walk as you would have us to walk, think as you would have us to think, and do according to your will in our lives. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Protect and provide, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.